These are all things that we need to be mindful of, because we have to remind ourselves, it is in this very brief moment in Earth history that we are thriving. So what we can do to preserve that moment is for the benefit of us as human beings.
That's Rachel Ignatovsky, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Rachel Ignatovsky is the New York Times bestselling author and illustrator of Women in Science, Women in Sports, The Wondrous Workings of Planet Earth, and the What's Inside picture book series, among others. She joins us to talk about dinosaurs, exploring prehistoric life and geological time. Rachel, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, there's so much in this book. There's no way we're going to talk about all of it, but give us a general description of what people are going to find here.
This book is called Dinosaurs, Exploring Prehistoric Life and Geological Time. And in it, we talk about the biggest, baddest animals that have ever walked on planet Earth. We talk about the dinosaurs, but it's much more than just that. It is a journey through Earth's 4.5 billion year-long history, and we start with the earliest cellular life, and we move all the way to the Ice Age. So this book is a lot of different animals, let me tell you that.
And for what age group is the book intended?
I would say it ages down to 10 and up to expert. And what's really cool about this book is that it's jam-packed with these really cute illustrations of all the prehistoric life and tons of fun facts, but there's also some deep cuts that a paleontologist would really appreciate.
And I felt that way too when I looked at it. I thought, well, I'm an adult and there's a lot I can learn from this book. So tell us a little bit about how it's organized, because it's fun that you have things like fun facts and stories of discovery, et cetera, in each era that you cover.
So each chapter in this book is a different geological time period. So a geological period is like the Triassic period or the Jurassic period. And in each of those chapters, we give an introduction that is filled with sort of like a full spread that's a scene from the whole ecosystem from that time period. We then talk a little bit more in depth about the animal life, the plant life that you would find in that time period. There's stories of discovery about some sort of interesting geology or paleontology stories from that time. And then we also do creature features, which is little standout things about animals and little fun facts about maybe your favorite animal, like the Triceratops or the T-Rex. And we kind of do a little deep dive on each species. What I think is really cool about this book is that when you see illustrations of animals and plants interacting with one another, those are all based on real fossil beds. So everything is time and place accurate in this book.
I have a question about fossils, because we've been studying fossils for many, many years, but because of the increases in technology, we're able to extract more information out of those fossils and learn more about those creatures. So tell us a little bit about how things have advanced over time.
Our understanding of prehistoric life is always getting better and better. Right now, we're in sort of a dinosaur finding renaissance, and every 2 weeks, a new species of dinosaur is found. One of my favorite things that I thought was really cool that technology has been able to do is that if they get a fossil that's preserved well enough, for example, the fossil of a feather from a dinosaur, they're able to look at the fossilized cells under a microscope and peer into the organelles of those cells and see the pigment structure and know exactly what color that feather on that dinosaur was. So, for example, they know for a fact that the Microraptor was black and shiny just like a crow. It's really wild.
And the book starts with some basic things that you may not think to ask, and like, what is a dinosaur?
Yes. Well, you know, I really felt like I had to define what a dinosaur is because there's a lot of misconceptions. Sometimes when you ask someone what their favorite dinosaur is, they'll say a pterodactyl. And a pterodactyl is not a dinosaur. In fact, there's just a lot of different megafauna like petrosaurs and marine reptiles that lived alongside the dinosaurs but weren't dinosaurs. I also really like to point out that the dinosaurs are still alive today. As birds. Birds are part of the theropod dinosaur group. So it's just a really large group of animals that's super diverse. So defining what is and is not a dinosaur was really helpful.
Yeah, so technically we're still living in the age of dinosaurs.
Yep. I mean, mammals were tiny little guys during the dinosaurs, and now birds are tiny little dinosaurs during the age of the mammals. So there's always a sort of a give and take on who the dominant species are.
One of the things that I'm sure kind of blows the minds of people when they think of the timeline of geological age, you point out that if you look at the history of the planet, modern humans have only been here for like 0.007% of the time.
Yeah, modern humans emerged only 300,000 years ago. And there's a scene that I draw in this book, which is from only 20,000 years ago of Ice Age France. And when you start working in the span of millions and billions of years, you begin to say phrases like only 20,000 years ago. But what I think is really cool about this book is that it shows you that an Earth with ice caps, with grasslands, the ecosystem that human beings evolved in, it's very rare and it's very precious. So we have to be very mindful to preserve the ecosystem that allowed us to thrive.
One of the things you cover in the book, which is sobering in many ways, is the extinction events that have happened. And at the end of the book, you talk about how scientists feel like we're already perhaps going into a sixth extinction event. So tell us a little bit more about what that means.
Well, I first need to say that extinction is a natural part of evolution. For many reasons, animal species have gone extinct, and most of the animals that have ever lived on this planet do not exist anymore. An extinction event, a mass extinction event, is when the natural rate of extinction starts to get very, very high. So there has been 5 major mass extinction events on our planet. Sometimes they're caused by volcano outgassing. The famous one that killed the dinosaurs was caused by an asteroid. And right now, scientists have noticed that the biodiversity level is a lot lower than it used to be, and that the rate of extinction, they think, is 100 to 1,000 times more than the natural rate of extinction. And this is a lot caused by human impact, whether it's overhunting, monocropping, or the ways that we are using fossil fuels and how those fossil fuels transform our atmosphere. These are all things that we need to be mindful of because we have to remind ourselves it is in this very brief moment in Earth history that we are thriving. So what we can do to preserve that moment is for the benefit of us as human beings.
Yeah, it made me think about how little time humans have been here. But yet, we've done incredible damage in many ways. So, to flip the coin a little bit, what can we as humans do, who seem to have such a big impact on the planet, do to slow down or prevent an extinction event?
I think the unique thing about humans versus all the other animals on the planet is our big old brains and the fact that we use knowledge in a collaborative way, and we pass it down from generation to generation. So I think that if we can use our big old brains and the technology and cooperation that we are so good at producing as a species, then we can start to solve these big problems, whether it's changing the type of fuel that we use, whether it's thinking more about how do we reuse our resources instead of just turning them into trash? How do we get a more... it's a circular economy. How do we create a circular economy where we're not throwing things away, but instead fixing them, repairing them, and making them last as long as possible? And I think that once we start to prioritize preserving nature as part of our economy, that you'll see a big change on how we impact nature.
And again, there's so much in this book we won't have time to talk about, but what sort of new appreciation of our planet do you hope readers will take from the book?
Well, I hope that, one, the reader understands humanity's place in the universe a little bit better by seeing the vastness of deep time, but also that geological time is on display all around us. One of the funnest parts about making this book is that I went out and actually dug up my own fossils. I went to a shale quarry in the middle of Utah and I dug up little trilobite fossils. And now I call them my 500 million year old antiques. Go visit places like the Grand Canyon, like Dinosaur National Park, and experience deep time for yourself and just feel in awe of how amazing our planet is.
And before I let you go, I want you to tell us a little bit about your efforts to help women enter STEM careers.
I think that women in science has always been a big passion of mine. Back in 2016, I published my very first book that was actually called Women in Science. And it's been wonderful to see how that book has been so well received. We talk about astronauts. We talk about women who have explored the deepest parts of our ocean. We talk about famous conservationists like Rachel Carson and Jane Goodall. And now that that book is 10 years old, I have been able to talk to young ladies who purchased this book when they were just in middle school. And now they're taking it with them to grad school to finish their science careers and their PhDs. So it's just been really wonderful to see how my book, Women in Science, has been able to impact so many young ladies into pursuing their passion in the STEM fields. We have a lot of problems and we cannot ignore any brain power that we have. We have to make sure that every single person's brain power is being appreciated and used to solve some of our greatest problems. And a lot of those answers are in science.
The book is Dinosaurs, Exploring Prehistoric Life and Geological Time, written and illustrated by Rachel Ignatovsky. Rachel, thank you for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this new book. And again, I'm so happy to be speaking with the people of Kansas. I lived in Kansas City for quite a while.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.